Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm really excited that I sort of wanted to record today instead of Tuesday because I wanted to make sure that the people got husky sick Brooke voice.
I mean, that's pretty sexy.
Yeah.
When Bridget, I saw you on Saturday, like
there was one point where my voice just like completely dropped.
It and went I was from like sexy grumble to like, I've been smoking for 45 years.
To like, I actually can't phonate at all and I don't know how words are coming out. It was like crackly in a way that it seemed like. Like in a comic book movie, like suddenly I've been like you took my mask off and yeah, like, that's
exactly.
How I spoke.
And that's who you were really underneath. How you doing? How you feeling? Are you feeling better?
I am feeling a lot better than the last time you saw me.
Good. Love that.
This has been a really bad month for me.
It sure has, hasn't it?
But I have brown hair.
It's brown and it looks really good. It's a big change, but. It's
a big change for me. We were saying earlier that some people are like, I don't really, it's not that big of a change. Like, I don't really notice a difference. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm a different person. I look in the mirror and I go, who dat?
I know that feeling though. Like anytime I get a haircut I don't love or like it's all I can think about. And I'm always like, you can't see how terrible this looks.
It doesn't look, and I objectively, I know that it doesn't look terrible.
Good.
And I like it.
Good.
It's just when you like go somewhere and you're like, I think I want to go a little bit darker. Like maybe like a honey blonde.
And then suddenly you're a brunette.
And then suddenly your roots are brown. Like dark brown, and you're like sitting there. I was like sitting there watching them like marinate, and I was like,
"Oh no, oh no,
like,
oh no!
This isn't gonna be what I want." And my hair, I was like at the sink, and I like looked at like my wet tips of my hair, of my hair, and I was
tips.
Like, "And I was like, that's not blonde." Here we are,
yikes, yeah.
But it's really, it's not bad at all.
It is a change, though.
It is a change, and maybe it's a change that I needed. Maybe 2018 Brooke is just a little moodier. Brunette Brooke is here.
Whole new world.
Do I even look like my brother anymore? Like,
well, you still have the same face. So, which is a literal transplant of your brother's face. Speaking of, hi, Brooke.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to Splat, the podcast, where me, Brooke.
And me, Bridget.
Talk about Shrek.
I'm a believer. You thought it was a one episode bit. Sorry, everyone. Wait. Is Shrek, the Swamp Cast.
Swamp, the Shrek Cast.
Yep.
Anyway, incredible. Sorry. What do we talk about? Sex in the City.
Yep. 10 years younger.
And 20 years later.
And this week, we have a lovely, lovely guest.
Hi.
Hey, Lily.
Lily. Wait, just really quick before we introduce Lily back to Shrek.
Okay, fair.
Oh, sure.
I was taking a BuzzFeed quiz today, not at work.
Oh, never. Why would you do that?
And I had to choose my favorite non-Disney animated film, and I had to choose between Shrek and Anastasia.
Mm. Oh. Easy choice for me, honestly.
I picked Anastasia. I would watch Anastasia.
See, I would pick Shrek, but sure. I know why you picked Anastasia. I mean, you have to be true to who you are.
She yeah, is different. The first Disney.
Imagine that.
Heart don't fail, I'm a believer.
I thought she was Universal. I thought she was.
She's DreamWorks. That's what the point was. Is that it's not. Is they had.
Got it.
It was pick
like a non
things, and it was like what Disney right. song are you? And I'm Be Our Guest from the Beauty and the
yes,
Beast.
Yes, that feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shrek's good.
Shrek's a great movie.
Lily is our favorite kind of guest because Lily shows up and uncorks wine and has more on the way.
Lily has more on the way.
Prepared.
I don't know if you, so if you guys follow me on social media, which you all should, at Brooke Wiseman.
What are you doing?
Get out. Lily was my travel companion for my Israel/Italy trip.
Oh, yeah. Lily, did you get a name also?
like a Hebrew name. Oh, yeah. No, we're still deciding. Somebody,
thank you.
Someone's first initial thought for me was, oh man, I forget what it was.
Don't you have a note on your phone?
I have a note. Yeah, I just forget what the meaning was. It was just.
I was like, it was like
a pretty name. No, that was me. I went through a list of Hebrew names and their and what they mean. And apparently, all the ones that I identified with, all of our Israeli soldier friends were like, yeah, those are used for like older people. Like those are elderly names. It was Leah who was. Tired because she's like 100 kids. She's a million Jesus. Children.
Which like Lily is like a mother to many, yeah, metaphorically.
And I'm tired,
yeah, including me.
Right. And you're tired.
I'm tired. She's tired. I have to really dig.
So Yuval, my name in Hebrew means little river, which is right. Also what Brooke means.
Right. Makes a lot of sense.
And
it
if
easy.
You ask my mom, I don't know if I went over this last time.
We did.
Cool. Bye.
Rain cloud. You're like, no, I'm a rain cloud.
Oh right. Right
storm
right.
Cloud.
I'm a storm cloud.
The other one I liked was, but now I don't like it for several reasons. It was Devorah or Deborah or Deborah. Mm. And she, it meant two different things. It meant to speak kind words or a swarm of bees, which I really I identified with. Like, until our last night in Israel, they made us move from a really nice hotel to a really garbage, scary, moldy
ghost town. Oh no, and it was called the Deborah. It's
called the Deborah Hotel.
Okay, so
a TripAdvisor really has been coming for really me every week.
So really quickly about the Deborah Hotel, there were two elevators on our floor. And I spent a lot of time in the hallways of the Deborah Hotel. Mm-hmm. But
was this the very last night after you come back from Italy?
No. This was our last night of Birthright. So basically there were two elevators on our floor and everyone was waiting for one and the other one came. I was like, oh, I'll get in it. And I could not tell you what the floor was, but I pressed a button and then I got into the elevator and I think you guys heard me be like, no.
Oh, no. Like, was that sneaky elevator over
like,
on the side?
This is a mistake.
Oh no.
But it started taking me down and the door opened and it was a dark room.
It was a kill room.
And all I saw was like a mattress, a hanging shirt, like a mattress up against the wall, a hanging shirt, dark. Darkness and like, and I was like, it was like tower
upstairs
of terror.
Just like hearing her screaming, and we all were like, Brooke, how do we get her back? How do we get her back?
That was so horrible.
That's amazing.
That
and that's really why dark. You don't take the other elevator.
Never take the other elevator.
No, just take the stairs.
Just take, nope.
Honestly.
There were Russians.
There was actually like a giant blockade at the bottom of one of the stairs. It was just like pieces of planks of wood.
She's
like, don't go this way. And I just stepped over it. And one person was like, hey.
Like, I don't know. Your wood planks didn't deter me.
No, they did not. I have legs.
So, Lily.
Yes. Hello.
Lily and I met.
I was going to say, you guys are long, long friends.
11 years ago.
11 years.
Almost.
This June.
This
11
June.
Years.
Damn. That's a lot of years.
Lily likes to tell this story about the actual first time
Please
we met.
Please share.
She doesn't recall.
I have
that's
no
okay.
memory,
it makes
but
me
it's indicative of the story, but it isn't indicative of me.
No, it's definitely not. But so we went to theater camp together.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And uh-huh. I had been attending this theater camp for, let's see. You came in 06. So I had been attending for 4 years and I had like never gotten a role, but I still loved my time there. I had great friends. I'm doing musicals. Yeah. It's a blast. And her first year, she books, they like split up a bunch of roles in Blood Brothers.
Mm-hmm. So there's like a narrator. And instead of it having it one narrator, it was like seven.
Sure.
Like, yeah, four.
Because camp and, you know, yeah. opportunities for children. Yeah.
But
you
had like black pants, jazz pants, and a black tank top and red suspenders.
Classic narrator, oh like God. Basically a techie.
Yep.
And she was a narrator with like a bunch of other like long-term people who had been at the camp for a while.
So it was very intimidating Whoa. For me as a newcomer to be in this environment.
Yeah,
with,
and
like,
it like definitely pissed me off
course,
a little bit.
But, this new girl just coming in and booking shit.
But then I got the chance to see it and she was really, really good. And
oh.
I like I was not bitter by any means. In fact, I pulled her aside and I was like, I literally just said, hi, you were really, really good.
Oh
and
my
she,
God.
She brushed me off. She brushed me off. She was just, she was overwhelmed, which I now know
fair,
about Brooke.
Fair,
and I
yep.
believe and know this to be true. However, at the time, it stung.
I'm sure.
It
yeah.
stung. But
then
especially
next,
because you were being such a big person and getting over your jealousy.
Thank you.
And I was just like, I don't know where or who I am.
Yeah.
And then so how can I, if I don't know who I am, how can I be kind? Which is not something I've learned.
You need to, Deborah, either pick your kind words or
be
a
swarm
of bees. There's no middle ground.
All right. Well, now I know. Now I know. In retrospect, I swarm of bees to you when I should have kind words to you. But
Deborah Verb.
Deborah the Verb. And Nick, but then the next summer we were in two shows together. Back to back.
Oh, dang.
Mm-hmm. And now, and here we are.
That'll solidify. It's totally. One thing when you do one show, because you know everyone just like falls in love with each other totally. In that like, whatever, 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
But man, when you got two shows under your belt, that's lifetime friendship right there.
We got lucky.
Seriously.
So Lily also was like the house when I would come visit New York. So all of my experience like visiting New York up until I would say freshman year of college was via Lily.
Whoa.
Like coming to stay with Lily.
Totally.
At Lily. A senior year maybe.
So you were one of the cool New York kids who your mom was so afraid of you becoming.
Not becoming, but like.
Betsy was afraid you were going to become
No,
of course not. But that's she was the like, dream.
I remember like visiting sophomore year for like Becca's birthday party.
Oh, sure.
And my mom was like, you will not take the subway. And so like Juliana, I remember taking a cab
with
Juliana.
Isn't that so funny now?
Yes,
like, oh, it's crazy. But like Lily was definitely one of the like, we're going to go into the back room of this bar and do sake shots. And I'm like, I'm literally 14.
Lily's face. She's being maligned.
We did have like our spots.
Fair.
They were the
I feel like everyone who I've known who grew up in New York has the like two bars they went to where they knew they could get served.
One of them is still open and I will not call them out on live.
Oh, air. Absolutely.
It took you to Tokyo Pop. They closed quick, which you can keep this. Tokyo Pop was this place by Columbia and you'd go inside and you'd ask for a table in the back and they'd charge you an 18% upcharge. And then
Because they knew. And no wonder they got shut down. If you have a real policy, like, nah.
Straight up. And their one waitress, her name was Ori, like Oreo. Those are her words. And she'd be like, can I see some ID? You can show me anything, a credit card, a bus ticket, just something so that my boss sees me looking at stuff. That
wow.
was.
Tokyo. Yeah. Poop.
Tokyo poop. Lily, what's your relationship to Sex and the City?
Actually, I have like a pretty...
Oh, I forget. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I actually also forget this detail myself. So I watched Sex and the City in full after it finished airing. I had all the DVDs and I just like attacked.
And then you binged it. Yeah. You hadn't watched it before.
I had seen episodes here and there. My parents were never like, you can't watch inappropriate stuff. Right. They let me watch a lot of stuff. But I was like original binge watcher. Like sure. I would buy all the DVDs. If it was a VHS, I would buy all the VHSs, like any kind of collection. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. And just not like leave my room for several days. And growing up, my neighbor was friends with Darren Star. The creator.
No way. Cool.
And, yeah. My apartment and their apartment, we'd open up both of them and throw the rap party.
Oh my God.
And not every year, but like a decent amount of
years.
For
the show?
Yeah. And I was like too young to be able to participate, but I do have several nuggets.
Yeah. Please.
I knew Lance Bass was gay before he came out.
So did I, actually.
There you go. He was fully like high school, like locker. Like hand up against the wall, leaning over a hot young thing by my bedroom door when I was
oh
a kid.
Oh my God. And you were like, ah, interesting.
Yeah, I was like 9, 10, and 11 for these parties. So my mom pretty much was basically like, go sit in your room and right. we'll bring you snacks and you can invite a friend. One time David Blaine was there and he got wasted and did a magic trick for me. And I saw him pull the card out of his breast pocket. And I was like, I saw the trick.
Drunk David Blaine did a shitty trick for you.
No, let me do it again. Here, you don't know magic. And did it again, like totally messed it up all over again. And I kicked him out of my room. I was like, I don't have time
for your faulty magic.
For your faulty, shitty magic. Stay out of here.
I am a 10-year-old connoisseur of pranks.
I actually was taking after-school magic classes that year. So I really was like, this is just so unprofessional.
Please. Breaking the first rule.
Always. I never saw a single member of the cast. Of
wow.
Sex and the City at
that's
the party.
Kind of remarkable that for 3 years, although maybe they weren't like
it was
into the rap party
maybe,
was it kind of crew
rap parties are like
fun
the best
yeah
maybe it was like mid-season so USA. they were like meh
right
I'm over this I hate everybody but it was always hopping it was always a good time
that's an amazing tidbit
it's
thank
fun.
You so much
oh anytime I kind of forget about it until I'm talking about
that's
Sex and the City
well right it's such a good, it's not like you're like the child of one of the stars, you know, but it's like the perfect,
it's like a weird outlier.
Yeah, exactly. Connection too. That's so funny. So who do you think Do you know you're like hybrid or your identification with one of them?
I'm like mostly a Miranda.
Same. Hardcore.
Cool. Yeah.
Which is interesting to me because both of us are really close to Brooke, who's a Carrie.
Yes.
I'm also a Miranda.
You are also, of course.
You have Miranda tendencies.
But you would even say that I'm you're a lot of a Carrie. And I just, sure. but I think it kind of makes sense because that's the like friendship that makes so much sense. And mm-hmm. so that like you'd be friends with a lot of Miranda type people kind of makes sense to me.
Well, yeah, I'm the glue that holds the group together.
Okay, Carrie.
Uh-huh. Okay, Carrie.
Sam.
They're all inside my head.
That's right.
If I was a hybrid, I know when I first watched the show, I was so obsessed with Charlotte, but I'm not.
That's so funny. What do you think it was?
I thought
because I feel like I also would have, as like a 12-year-old, been obsessed with Charlotte in a way where now I can't. I'm like
I
Charlotte.
I thought she was like just beautiful and like.
Do you think it's that she has brown hair? And you have brown
maybe.
Hair.
Maybe. I did, like, go for that for a while. But also, no, because, like, for the longest time growing up, I thought Sarah Michelle Gellar was the most beautiful woman on earth.
Fair.
She is very pretty. Gorgeous. And I
I've
love
talked
her.
More about Sarah Michelle Gellar today than I have in literally my entire life.
So I told bizarre. An unrelated story about it earlier, too.
That's so bizarre.
I know. What,
are you talking about Sarah Michelle Gellar or Sarah Jessica Parker?
Sarah Michelle Gellar, yeah. as
just
in make, Buffy.
Just clarify.
Two episodes ago, it's one of the LA
She's
episodes. And
oh,
Sarah
sure.
Michelle Gellar it plays this, like, little
Sarah
PR
Michelle Gellar.
Assistant.
The guest stars on the show.
Michelle Gellar.
Are my favorite part of the
they're
show.
They're amazing.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yes, he was several episodes ago, wasn't he?
Uh-huh. LA also.
But he was himself.
Yeah.
He was himself.
That was
and then, which was also funny because then immediately after Vince Vaughn plays not himself. He plays
classic.
Like a he
so
plays
fun
like an
fact.
Assistant.
I love the world where like some celebrities are real but some celebrities are just regular people.
I was reading some SATC trivia the other day.
Assassin's Creed trivia.
And you know, they didn't want Matthew McConaughey at first. They actually wanted Alec Baldwin.
Fascinating.
Oh, Alec.
Very, different vibe.
Very different
vibe. Also, like 20 years of age between them.
Which makes me believe that that scene was entirely improv.
Because it's, as we said at the time, the most like acid trippy weird scene of all time. Yeah. It's like they were like, hit on Carrie, pretend to be big, and we'll just run with it.
That's so whack.
It's anyway, very strange. Anyway. Hi, like if you were like a Miranda with a rising.
A rising?
Yeah. Like I know I have a Charlotte moon.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
I would put, but if, I mean, if we're going like full astrological chart, like all of them end up in there at some
right.
point.
Yeah. Right.
Charlotte for her like traditional things, like I was always very mm-hmm. big on like having the family, having mm-hmm. the kids. Like,
I think you are.
Her husband's my favorite husband, hands down. But like,
I think that
I
you.
I assume you mean not Trey.
No.
Oh.
I think that
yeah,
you
no,
are.
Trey.
I think you are a Miranda with a Charlotte rising, and I think you have Samantha Moon.
I think I have a little Samantha. I'm discovering my Samantha. It's very
Fuck
interesting.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
She has. There's a lot
By
to
Brooke's
learn.
By Brooke's face, I can tell this is a quite an exciting venture.
And I need to like pursue it a little bit.
It's
more.
Like once she's out, though, you can't stop her.
It's
and
true.
I feel that. Because it's the kind of thing where like it's like any sort of behavior pattern where like once you do it and it's easy to like perpetuate it. But it's also really hard sometimes to be like, I'm going to be a fucking Samantha.
Yeah, it is hard. It's like
Lily. I know you've lived in New York for your entire life, except for that brief period where you lived in L.A. Plus Boston when you were in college. But at any point in your
where
life.
Where did you go?
Emerson.
Oh, cool.
Specifically, it doesn't have to be in New York, maybe. But at some point in your life, maybe. Have you ever like had an experience where you were like, oh, my God, this is so Sex in the City?
Huh.
It could be as simple as brunch or as complicated as big because, you know.
I had someone play a saxophone for me on Fifth Avenue while I strutted in Manolo Blahnik's.
That's incredible.
I got splashed by a bus with my face on
it. Oh, my
it.
God. Wait, I have to show you this photo I saw today. Keep talking, but that just made me think of this.
I'm trying to think. Honestly, like I feel like the moments I'm thinking of didn't happen in New York.
That's
like,
okay.
I got splashed by a bus in Boston, and I was like, this is a Sex in the City moment.
Love
or,
it.
Yep.
What was the other one that just came to mind? Oh, well, they made me want to spend money I didn't have. So I would create those moments by like going to my version of like Saks and Bendel's and go to Bloomingdale's and just sort of take over the dress floor and make people wait on me hand and foot and then walk out of there
fun.
Buying like one thing, one little accessory or not, or actually spending money I don't have. I had a bad
I love spending money I don't have.
Yeah, I did that. Y'all, I bought a crystal. With a lot of money I don't have.
But you know what? It's going to adjust your aura and your living space, and you're going to feel good.
I appreciate that.
I would like to draw your attention to the stack of board games in the corner. Yep.
That's a really great purchase, though. Brooke that will and I last both you a
come,
lifetime.
It's true. Brooke and I both come from strong board game households, and it's a good time.
I would love to take part in whenever you guys have a strong board game day.
I've been like seeking out recommendations for board games. Guess what? We have wine at the door. This has turned into a podcast of wine and board games, and yes, that's all I care about. So I hope you're all on board. Doodly doo. New York is an amazing place where you can get anything you want delivered to all your door time. All the time.
I ruined so many lives when I got to Boston and met like all these Midwestern people. I was like, you guys don't know what delivery is?
Oh no.
Oh no, is
you were
right.
Like, it's here. Oh. You just aren't using
it. I have friends who are like, I'm poor because of you. And I'm like, it's not because of
me.
Do
you know what's really bad that I've started doing? Is I've started ordering my lunch to the office.
Mm-hmm. That's
where I'm like, I'm ordering stuff that's 5 blocks away that it would be cheaper if I walked out and got it. And also, I won't like leave my desk if I don't, because we don't have a place to eat. So I'm like, I literally should be walking 5 blocks to get food. And it's so easy to have food delivered for an extra like $7.
Also, where do you work in regards to where do you live? Like
far.
So my favorite thing to do is take advantage of the area that I don't live in, and being like, oh, what are my options?
What can
in
I get?
This area?
Yes, totally.
And just running train on that.
I know. And I'm getting better too, where I'm not just like, I'm lazy and I want to eat this one thing, so I'll order it. Where I'm like, I'm going to look at the cool stuff and like get something fun.
See what's around. See what's like not an option to you most days. Or
last time I found a restaurant, I didn't order from it, but it's next. I found a restaurant called Bolivian Llama Party.
Yes. Oh my God. They show up on my Try Caviar all the time.
So I tweeted about it and someone was like, wait, actually eat there because it's so good. So next time you see it. I don't think so.
They
I don't.
They have like a whole silly tagline. They're like, no, we don't eat llama. We're just called Bolivian Llama Party.
Brooke,
just,
you wanted us to do some meaningful questions and we didn't. We're talking about ordering food on Seamless. I'm sorry.
I should be a Seamless ambassador. I just want to say that.
Fair.
Manifest it.
I should be Postmate.
If there were two things that I feel like I could really represent well and be a strong brand leader for, it is LaCroix and Seamless.
For sure.
Makes sense. I feel that.
I have a 20-pack coming my way. Shall we jive in?
Let's jive right in. Let's just jive in. Let's boogie in. Let's
Born to Hand Jive, baby.
Yes.
In.
I'm a believer.
If Lily doesn't listen to the podcast, but she's on it now.
For the record, it's not anything.
But what I was going to say is last episode we made a bit about Shrek.
I'm gathering that much.
Slowly. Mr. Policeman, I gave you all the clues.
My friends and I used to read those as like a child's letter.
What is
like,
this?
Dear Mr. Policeman, I gave you all the clues. All you had to do was save her.
The Jason Mraz font.
Fuck you, Mr. Policeman.
Oh, Mr. Policeman.
The Snowman.
The worst movie of all time. Still
did you see it?
No,
I have to activate HBO Go. I'm so sorry, everybody.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, it's because I'm logged into my own Apple TV.
So it took me like...
What? You logged me out?
Like a year.
Because I rented a movie.
I was here, right?
Yeah, I
rented. Center Stage. We watched Center Stage.
Solid.
I've been craving it. I've literally been talking
about
it. And
I've never seen it. And it was perfect. And I was having a little panic attack on this couch. And it was perfect.
It's a fabulous movie.
I literally just Googled the code. And it took me to the
Santa Fe lyrics.
The Tennessean from Nashville to Tennessee on December 31st, 1952. I wonder what happened.
Fascinating. I 17. Didn't meet Lily until much more recently.
Is this an obituary?
Yeah.
We must have met actually, I think we met really briefly before Brooke had a holiday party in her old apartment.
Yes.
And I think we met like in the hallway kind of thing where it was like, I know your name, you know mine. But for a really long time, I knew Lily as the person who gave Brooke access to every TV show and movie that existed under the planet. You just have like the most amazing collection.
My Apple TV collection has been, I mean, I know Apple TVs haven't been around this long, but iTunes has. And I have been acquiring this collection since ninth grade.
It's like
school.
Unbelievable. It's like better than most streaming databases.
But I really appreciate that.
But if I'm ever.
So for a long time, you just provided content for me, even though we never met.
That was why I wanted to share it, because there's all, it's purely selfish. I watch this television, good, bad, and the in between.
Yep, same.
And I want to talk about it. So if you don't want to spend money on all the seasons of Gossip
then you watch
Girl
it and talk
Netflix,
to you it's genius
it. Yes.
The thing it got me really turned on to last year that I haven't watched since but was obsessed with is Are You the One. Oh my God,
you're welcome.
Like, oh, honestly, it's genius. And I am not like a huge reality TV show person. I watch a lot of trash TV that isn't reality TV.
Same. Me too. I actually don't love reality TV. No. I like reality competition if the stakes are correct.
And like, I watch a lot of reality cooking.
Yes. Oh yeah. Like Top Chef. And all,
all of that. All of that. I've been watching is Top Chef for like 2 months. Oh, it's the best. And Top Chef Masters, which I've never seen. But
it's great.
It's amazing. But Are You the One is like fucking unbelievable.
It's just great set of circumstances and people Thank being you. Absolute trash garbage.
It's
and
so good. So guys, it is episode 17 of season 3, What Goes Around Comes Around. And watching it today, I realized this season only has 18 episodes. We are almost done with season 3, which means we're not actually technically in terms of numbers of episodes, but like sort of halfway through the series.
So like, guys, I need you to tell your friends about this podcast so I can be famous by season 6.
And if we're not, we're coming for every single one of you who's listened to this and has not made Brooke famous.
I will kill you in your sleep.
We do not get violent on this podcast except about a few things.
This is a conflict-free podcast, but it is not.
Unless you're not doing everything you can for Brooke Wiseman.
That's me.
So it is What Goes Around Comes Around, which
it's a lot about the cosmos, like, which is very interesting because I don't know if you know, but Mercury is certainly in retrograde.
And it's going to be in retrograde through my birthday. And you know what? Sometimes I'm like, but Mercury but retrograde.
It's in Aries.
It is.
So you good?
I am good. Except, am I good?
Yeah, no, you good.
Well, do you use CoStar, that app?
No, but now I will.
It's really fun. So, okay.
You don't? I can't believe I didn't tell you about this.
Wait, this is super cool. Brooke turned me onto it, but basically it gives you a full profile and then you can connect with friends of yours and see how your charts interact, but also it'll give you daily updates.
Nice.
And like this weekend it was like,
it was bad.
It was so spot on. It was about like secrets coming out and like fighting and like it's the most on point.
So, yeah. Sex in the City.
Charlotte is in the suburbs.
2 months into marriage. Yeah.
Which I was also like, on the one hand, 2 months seems like not enough time for what's happened. And on the other hand, okay, 2 months they also, and they still haven't had sex.
But they also got married in like 6 months.
Yeah, they got married.
But that's
so
because
fast.
She's such a, you know,
a Charlotte.
She's such a Charlotte. But this was the parts of Charlotte that I loved. I was like, yeah, no, I get why she rushed into this life. Like,
yeah. And you know what? This episode perfectly, I think, encapsulates Charlotte because she goes from waspy, very Charlotte experience to kind of asserting herself in the way that Charlotte does.
Watching Kristen Davis in this episode, I feel like I connected with her because like as a new brunette, I'm like, okay, I have to be here for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really trying to find my brunette.
You've been a brunette before.
No, never like this.
They're at the McDougal Estate. So there's lots of music in this episode that's very haunting of the Scottish Highlands.
Oh, for sure.
And there's a sister-in-law.
It's whites only, but don't be confused. It means they have to wear white clothes.
Also, meaning pastels aren't allowed on the tennis court. And Trey is playing with, I think, his brother, who they've been playing with forever.
Yeah, yoinka, 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 Gardner.
So, and Charlotte is, they're talking about tradition and bunnies, like, your father would roll over in his grave if she played, you know, in pastels on the tennis court. So Charlotte's like, I'll go change into white, and she runs into
the hottest gardener of all time. I mean, and he's oily. Look at him. He's like Taylor Lautner type.
Do
but
we know
better.
I'm gonna look him up because I want to know who call. This man is.
And he is very hot, but he's also thinking, like, it's like Charlotte is having this like Tarzan fantasy, except it's like Scottish Highlands, but yeah, of this man,
I mean,
like
same,
in it's the jungle.
This so it's then she's like, what's going on? And Samantha, she's like, why
they
am
go
I
to brunch? We flash
to
brunch, the four of them,
and Samantha, fucking brilliant, goes, well, you know, the man can plow.
It's just so
that is Darren Star for you.
It
that
is
genius
killer.
And so Charlotte is having her hair looks unbelievably good. It's like cute and curled.
She's got
and
sex
I love
hair.
It and Charlotte's having like a crisis because she's like, he's so hot and I'm having these fantasies, but I'm married.
Yeah.
And I think it's an interesting moment of like, I don't think, well, it's interesting. I don't think attraction necessarily goes away just because you're attached to someone.
Definitely not.
But
definitely
it is not. Interesting because I actually realized that I think for me it kind of does.
Interesting. Not for me.
Yeah.
But the thing is, now that I have noticed that, I'm like, and kind of am like conscious of it. I can overcome that, you know? But it's like, I think, I didn't know this about myself before, but I think I have a brain that like when I'm attached to someone is kind of like any of the like looking or interested.
Your periphery just sort of.
It just kind of went away. It wasn't like I tried to.
Interesting.
I know. But you guys don't feel that way at all?
I can't honestly speak to experience, but fair. If I'm thinking about it now, I could probably Maybe. I think it depends on who the person was that I had the connection to.
Right. And like objectively, I'll be like, he's hot, you know, on the street or something. But but there's no like, it doesn't go any beyond that. There's no like.
I think it takes a certain circumstance.
Fair.
For me. Like, I think. No, I don't know. It's been a minute.
I don't think it's like I don't agree with Charlotte. Like, I think.
But also remember that Charlotte has not been having sex.
Oh, yeah.
And she's super sexually frustrated.
I agree that she should be looking is what I mean. Like, she's saying, so I think, I'm married. I can't be attracted to someone else. And I'm like, no, of course
you
can.
I think if they were having sex, she wouldn't be worried about it.
Right.
But I think it's like.
No, her hormones are in overdrive.
And she's like, what am I going to do?
Sweaty man, like, moving. Hello.
I think that like, they're like, oh, he's hot. When you're like. That what you were just describing, mm-hmm. like when you're not being satisfied in any way, and in fact the opposite is gonna become what it need, like is gonna transform into this. That's what happened for me.
Fair.
It's like I was like, okay, I'm in this relationship that I can feel being stale. It's long distance.
Right.
I'm being touched by other men in a non-sexual way
and reacting to it potentially.
In a way that is new.
Right.
And that was. Me.
Right. So my point is that like I don't fundamentally agree with Charlotte on the principle of like she's married, she shouldn't be having these thoughts, because she definitely should for a lot of reasons. But I also think it is interesting because I think some people do kind of work that way. We're like, try or no, when you're with someone, you're like, I'm with this person.
I also think given her set of circumstances, like she's having a very human, scientific,
oh my God, so
like
much.
Body response yes. to this. And
her pussy got wet.
Same.
Hello. I mean, look at him.
Seriously.
And
yes,
if you're not getting
any. This is a
room
of three wet pussies.
Oh, God.
Fan name.
Okay. So
we get a surprise. I've been waiting only because, not for this, but because like we haven't talked about our scene big in episodes. You know, she went away to LA. And here's the thing. I think this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Because it does what you don't expect. Carrie does not see Big, but she does see
Natasha,
who walks into a restaurant,
with
makes
like
eye contact.
Naomi Campbell.
Yeah, honestly. Makes eye contact with Carrie and then leaves.
Whispers to her friend. The friend glowers at them and then they leave.
So it's clear. I mean, she pointedly is not going to be in a restaurant with Carrie is, where Carrie is. And, you know, her friends are being good. And Samantha's like, who does she think she is?
And Carrie feels like, honestly, rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
Judged.
I mean,
like, she was the
did
like
the thing.
She did the thing.
But also Samantha says, who does she think she is? And Carrie says, Big's wife.
Yeah.
And like, I think there's something to be said. You know, it's not like she's being like, oh, fuck her, you know, for acting that way. Because Carrie knows she fucked up.
And then
she's
the most
known that always.
Ridiculous thing happens. Carrie's like, I got lost. And so I turned out an alley and that was weird. And so I asked a stranger for directions
it's
and he mugged me.
Barely an alley. There are like people walking
a
by.
A man in a fucking bowling shirt pulls a little gun and is like.
This is not an alley.
No, it's not
an alley.
Also,
this guy doesn't live in the city. He lives in Staten Island.
Okay, so here's my thing about this guy. He is like a little bit. I don't actually think he's gay, clearly. But this scene, he tries to take her Manolo Blahniks off of her. And
like,
he does.
Give me your Blahniks.
And all I could think of.
Also, he asked for her ring and her watch. And that bitch is just straight up not wearing a watch.
Yeah, it's but they maintain that later that she also had her watch stolen from her, which is really funny.
That's
but
bizarre.
He makes her take off her sandals and give them to her. And she's like, they're my favorite shoes. But here's the thing. All I could think about during the scene and the way it unfolded and the way he looks, which is total stereotyping, was that scene in Legally Blonde where he's like,
don't stomp your little last season Prada shoes on me, honey.
That's what I was like.
I watched that yesterday.
I was like, Carrie, how does this guy know exactly what Manolo Blahniks you're wearing? Come on, interrogate the situation.
Honestly.
And then she runs down the street and is like, I was mugged.
She walks into a nail salon. There we go. Hair
with weird like vase. And flower.
Yeah, lots going on in this.
It's a very
strange.
This
is a creepy converted.
And it's
like,
very like, this is New York where like no one's going to give a fuck if you got robbed.
Right. Correct. She walks in and everyone's like, and? So they give her some paper slippers and a very, very hot detective shows up to take her statement.
It's a very lot of hot men in this episode.
Hot like other dudes.
He's genuinely, I would say, like levels hotter than most of the Sex and the City one-off like men who appear for an episode. He's
so another
cute.
Fun fact, Cynthia Nixon is actually a natural blonde. Gubernatorial. I can't believe it's actually gubernatorial.
I know,
and
you laughed when I said that, but
that
it's the best.
For
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and gubernatorial
That's
candidate.
Right, she's gonna fucking EGOT, everyone.
She's
she
gonna
is for gubernatorial.
She already has a Grammy. She needs an Oscar.
I know.
She'll get it. You'll get it, ma'am. So she's a natural blonde.
She shows
so
up in the vein of Best Friends.
That's why her hair is always different colors of red, because they have different. To dye it all the time. Sorry, continue.
Well, it is interesting because you are like, why does her hair look different every two episodes?
It's literally different in the first scene and the third scene.
So Very Hot Cop is super into Miranda because Carrie's like, this is my best friend and lawyer. And he's like, oh, he makes a couple of jokes about Miranda rights. And she's like, oh, that's funny. It's clever back and forth. And he's clearly smitten with her. And she's clearly smitten with him.
Because how could you not be?
He's so cute.
And she like hands, Miranda like hands, hands Carrie a bag of shoes. And Carrie looks at him and goes, I can't wear these.
It's so good. It's in the background of their conversation.
She handed her hooves.
She did. Those are. And she gives them, the funny thing is she gives them back to Miranda, but then she, of course, ends up putting them on.
I mean.
And so Miranda and Hot Officer Stevens exchange cards.
And Carrie's like, I get mugged and you get him. So this episode is all about karma.
Yeah. And about what we get, what we give, what comes back to us.
Karma.
And it's interesting. And like, I think we'll get into it as the conversation happens. But it's interesting because it's like, you know, karma in a TV show where it's very like neat and paralleled, but it's an interesting, I think, conversation to get into.
Yeah, we can talk about karma till the day is done.
Oh, please.
So Samantha keeps getting voicemails that are like, Sam Jones,
I'll be at your party tomorrow at 10. Oh. I'm gonna bring party favors.
Oh, right.
And Samantha's like, who has my number? What's happening?
So Sam answers the phone, and
does Sam Jones, who's having a big blowout party tomorrow night?
She does the most Samantha thing where she goes, exactly, who is Sam Jones? She leans over and goes, and where is this fabulous party?
It's always a slow roll. That exactly, who is Sam Jones? It's like,
and yeah, she's
okay, so I couldn't tell you party. The undergarment that Miranda's wearing right now.
I don't want to talk about it.
Honestly. Also, this is the craziest thing about all the outfits in this episode is that Carrie is wearing like these multicolored overalls. Cool. With a like a lacy see-through button down. However, seems that.
What's happening?
Wait. If you look at the back of it, the shirt is like the overalls are under the shirt in the back.
Weird.
But not in the front.
She's done this.
I need a twirl.
Basically, Miranda has called Carrie because she's been in her room for 20 minutes. She's like, the hottest man I've ever met is in my living room and I can't decide what to wear. The problem is it's been 20 minutes, so no matter what, I look crazy.
Okay, wait. She's about to turn around.
Okay.
So you see it's like a normal shirt under overalls, right?
Not normal shirt, but yes, under overalls.
I have a feeling it's not overalls and it's like a halter, like an apron.
Because you can see it under it.
And over the course of this conversation, Miranda's in her bra and
like
skirt. And
taking in chicken cutlets. Oh.
Putting in and taking out like boob enhancements. And she sticks her head out the door to say in her bra to the guy, like, just a minute. And I was like, that's such a me
fucking thing
to do. The
amount of times I've done that to like a Postmate.
What? How does this work? It is. It's. She put the shirt on under and then buttoned it.
Wait, she put the shirt on over. Wait.
And then buttoned it underneath the front.
Hold the phone. Okay.
So it's the overalls, right?
Yes, it looks like
and
it.
And it's under the shirt in the back.
All right. Here's what this is. This is an all-in-one. She did not place this shirt with this overall. This is how this is made.
That makes it way worse.
Wait, it's how?
Because the way, so the way this is, so those aren't tucked in. That's like, that's
it's like
a
sewn
seam.
There.
That's a seam. That's sewn in there. So that the shirt looks like it's outside the overalls in the back. And then in the front,
it looks like it's under.
Almost like a bib in
but
the
then
front.
Why is there something in the, why is it continuing?
Because that's the idea. It's to do exactly what it's doing right now.
Which is to make us think that she styled herself this way. Whereas it's just a one-off.
But I think
that makes sense because you're right. The seam, the way that it's very weird. And she has, and the cuffs are hanging open. It's just super strange.
Hasn't somebody dedicated their life to like figuring out
every outfit she wears? Probably.
Because we can probably find this one and see who makes this contraption.
It's so weird.
Well, you and I have to find a dress and a onesie from last week. So I hope someone has tracked down every episode. So basically Carrie is being good friend and talking Miranda down and like, just go out there and have fun with him. You know, put on what you're going to put
on. Sorry, I spent a lot of time taking notes about this outfit.
I'm glad you did because it is confusing and I did not realize how concerning the outfit was.
So this big discussion is relationship karma.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, she does expand it.
If you treat someone badly in a relationship, does it ensure that you will get treated badly in the next?
And that's what I mean where I'm like, I think it's an interesting conversation in the broader sense. Uh-huh. I think in the Sex and the City writing trope of like, you do this in one relationship, surely it comes back in the next, is maybe not the way I feel or perceive it in the real world.
No.
But I do think, I do believe that there's something to this, that there's something to like, the energy that you put out into the world returns to you in similar ways.
Oh, 100p.
Although, you know, to the counterpoint, there are piece of shit people who get away with being a piece of shit for their whole lives.
Yes and no.
But
Samantha's dress, I want it.
Yeah, also, dress. Carrie's dress. I'm like, you are the only person who could ever pull off a dress that works like that.
That's like half her wardrobe. Yeah.
The butterfly's back.
The butterfly's back,
it
and
is
it's
moved
ugly.
From her neck to her waist.
But she's wearing like a, it's like flowy and strapless at the top, and
I'm
then
like curious
very
about
tight
like
around the
if the
waist.
Flower. We know we've done some research. The flower represents like open to love, blossoming love. This
what
butterfly
is, yeah.
Could it be like? Is it? Is
metamorphosis?
It like, maybe
kind of thing. Wait, I'm curious what you guys think about relationship karma specifically, though, because there's a lot of like karma in general in this episode. She expands it, but in terms of this, like, if you treat someone poorly, are you going to be, you know, eventually treated poorly?
I think you go first.
No, please.
I think it's never as black and white as like,
never.
I'm going to do this and I'm going to get it back to me. It's probably something more like, you know, even outside of relationships, like if you do something shitty, especially when you know it's shitty and you know full well going into it, like there's going to be a moment in time where something that you really want doesn't go your way.
Yeah. And whether or not they're correlated,
you're going to think it because you know,
there
is like a.
Right.
I do believe in karma in that sense. Like,
I believe in relationship karma, and I'm thinking of a very specific circumstance where I was like, that's not a way that you talk to someone about something that you had.
Right.
And this is going to come to bite you in the ass. Yeah. And lo and behold.
Yours was like the best version of relationship karma, which was.
I was on the upside.
Right.
But I was like.
You were on the like
you
this person
that
did the
you can
good
like,
version of.
Get away with all of this bad behavior for so long and just be like. That like it's so that something isn't going to come to like knock you off your pedestal.
Yeah.
My dad always says that like people end up finding crazy. Like if you're crazy and you're treating people poorly and like good things are happening to you, like it will come out.
Right.
And someone will put a stop to it. It just might take
a really
long time.
I have faith in that too.
Time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do think there's something to be said maybe in terms of like as explicitly as Carrie setting it up is like, you do this now, you're going to get fucked. I do think, for example, in situations like often, if you are, say, the other person in a relationship and end up, you know, that the person you're cheating with leaves their partner for you, I think there's a lot of like, I mean, there's the like once a cheater, always a cheater thing, but I think there's like countless instances where people are like, yeah, you got what you deserved because you did that thing and you knew that person was that person. And then oh, they did it to you? So there are some instances where you're like, someone is obviously this person.
It's
and
a big
and
reason
you.
Why I didn't like continue to pursue anything tangible with a person in my past.
Because you get to a point where you're like, this isn't going to feel good in the future. I'm crossing lines for me and I want
Not
good
to mention,
things. And,
like, no one should ever be, no one should ever take on the roles as the like, I'm going to be the one that fixes them.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that's classic Brooke.
Well, so of course everybody loves to be like, someone would love to
Princess,
be
this
that
is how
story.
The whole Shrek thing came up because I have Princess Fiona syndrome.
Well, yeah. I mean, it would be great to be able to like be a positive change for somebody you care about in that sense. And hopefully.
And also if you could mold that person into being
exactly
what
you
needed.
Want them to. But
yeah,
that's,
exactly.
I mean, that's
Fallacy.
Unnatural. That's unhuman.
Fallacy, yeah.
Unhuman.
Can
Whoops.
I add, sorry.
Yes.
Just to get back to this TV show. Now that we're not talking about it. I just would like to add this dress that Samantha's wearing to my list. It's like a high necked black dress that like has a little slitty.
Something that is really interesting. No, it's okay. Watching fashion in this show, though, it is really interesting because there are every episode there's an outfit where I'm like, I would wear that. I know someone who is wearing that. Like that is fashion now,
oh,
where you
for
can
sure.
see exactly how these things have circled back. Like that neckline and hem.
I'm so sorry, but did you guys know? And I'm really upset about it that tube tops are back.
Yes,
tube tops are the worst.
They're horrifying.
I love crop tops. You're wearing a cute ass crop top sweater.
Tube tops are a nightmare. Horrifying. And while I was in LA this past week, I saw. 6 of them in one day, and then the next day I saw another like 8.
Were they all on like really tiny 17-year-old girls though?
Yes and no. They were all over the place. It ranged the spectrum.
See, that's the problem.
Especially when
that
you
means
have boobs.
It's beyond. That means it's beyond just the,
someone
like,
just decided
I'm
they could come back. And not only that, but crimping your hair is back.
No,
and I saw like a 2-in-1.
No,
like
what?
Somebody walked into the dry bar requesting crimping,
no,
wearing
what?
A tube top,
requesting,
and I
requesting.
So that requesting. Do you have Mr. Policeman? So. Dear Mr. Dwybar,
can you please
in.
Quit my hair?
Can you please quit my hair?
It'll look so good with my tube top.
They have this limited edition crimper at Dwybar.
I want to look like I was in Clueless.
Clueless?
Yeah.
It's
Jesus.
It's horrifying. And
imagine
so,
going to pay like $65 total to have your hair crimped.
Horrifying. 45. This is the second tube top.
Tip?
Tube-ish.
55.
Thank you. Right in the middle of us. I'll take it.
Charlotte was wearing a tube top at the tennis match, and it triggered me. And this is more of like a strapless dress, which I also could never wear because of boobs.
But that's what I mean, where I'm like, literally no one but Carrie could wear this dress. Because I'm like, I get it. I have a tiny body, but I couldn't pull that dress off. It would fall and sag and look crazy. Like, her body is insane.
Thank God she has that butterfly belt.
They dress her like, I mean,
she's wearing pigtails. It's
they
horrible.
Dress her like she's a, like in middle school sometimes, but I never question always, it.
It's like high end fashion crosses with limited two.
Yes,
Carrie looks bizarre. She looks like she's ready for Sadie Hawkins. So
they're going to this party that the college. Other Sam Jones.
Oh,
is,
no.
That the other Sam Jones is throwing, and they're like. Samantha's like, Washington Square, that's a money address. Like, I don't know what this party will be, but it'll be great. They
and
show up at the address.
It's a dorm at NYU.
And not only that, but they go to the party. I'm like, security would not have let you in.
I literally
Why the hell would you go?
I was like, I wouldn't even go into dorms my senior year of college.
No. Like, why? Security wouldn't let you in. You can't have parties like this in dorms. Actually, like, there's no way. But they go up and Samantha's like, well, I have to find the other Sam Jones because this is my karma.
But
like
first,
cosmically.
She tells him.
Oh, yeah. She tells
her.
Carrie and Samantha.
Samantha's like,
I
have to tell you something. And she's like.
She's basically like, listen, if I have a piece of information about Big and Natasha, and I will tell you if you want to know. But I haven't told you because, you know, I didn't know if you wanted to know. Which I was also like, I don't. That's a hard line to walk with a friend sometime.
Yeah. So basically we find out that. She's like, they're
Natasha's leaving Big,
and she's back to work at Ralph Lauren, which is like, why would you have to leave your job at Ralph Lauren to marry?
Yeah,
Big?
it's a little bit of outdated.
That,
like,
yeah,
you're part of
that.
She was
going
to do what everyone expected Charlotte to do. That she was like, no, I'm not going to do this.
Right.
Which was give up your career when you marry into a wealthy.
And Carrie's family. Like, and it took you 17 blocks to tell me.
And Samantha was like, well, I mean, I don't know. I didn't want to make you feel bad or think about it.
And
or
then Carrie starts feeling racked with guilt.
Because Carrie, well, it's funny because Carrie's first instinct is, I destroyed their marriage.
Of course. Well, which is so selfish, honestly.
I know. It's like, it's
babe,
just like.
It's not you. It was something else.
Assume.
For what she did to like.
Well.
Listen, yeah. She didn't do a great thing. She didn't do a great thing, but the fact is something else has to be going on for that to make an entire relationship deteriorate.
Yeah. No, I think Carrie ruined their marriage.
I think if Big was that person who was weak enough to do that, the marriage was never going, you know,
that's
like
what
he,
I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's a friend of mine broke up with, they were together for 7 years. They were totally going to get married.
Damn.
And they broke up and a friend of mine had hooked up with one of them because they had like a bit of an open relationship knowing that they would get married. And when they broke up, she was like, oh, it's all my fault. Oh, I totally ruined all of this. But the fact
like,
was,
bitch, no.
No, bitch, no. They had problems going on and right. Maybe that was a catalyst to discuss the change, which, yeah. And I'm not pro-affair, you guys. Let me just be clear about
it,
this.
I got it.
But I think it's very indicative of her character to like immediately think that she is the sole reason that any of that would have happened.
See, that's the thing I don't resonate with Carrie.
Good.
Right. Right.
You know, and I see that Carrie behavior and I'm like, I can't be this.
No.
No.
Because that's the thing where it's like, it's not, you're not being a good person by taking that guilt on. Being a good person would have been not doing it. What you're doing is still assuming major importance in Big's life.
Exactly. Yeah. You're making yourself
Which,
just like.
The way he conducted himself clearly is fairly true, but.
So they go into this dorm.
I just can't believe they go into this party. But Samantha's like, it's a cosmic thing. Like, there are two Sam Joneses, and I just have to meet this other guy. And, of course, he's, like, the weeniest.
Oh, my God.
Southern accented.
He's from
to
Texas.
To go to college at this time. Do you see these outfits?
I know.
The puka shell necklaces for days.
And Samantha goes and finds Sam Jones and is basically like, we have the same name and all of your friends are calling me and it's a huge issue.
Oh, yeah. It's a little derp.
But then afterwards on the street.
But first he says.
He's like, I wouldn't be a.
It appears you're getting my fucking calls. And he goes,
if you're getting my fucking calls,
I guess that explains why I'm a virgin.
Right.
And so Samantha decides.
Samantha to Carrie is like, I think I have to fuck him and give him the time of his life for his first time.
So Miranda and Detective Stevens share this really weird kiss.
Very weird,
and
but
they're
also
like
passionate.
Panting. They're panting very loudly I after this one kiss. And it's.
They often have weird kisses on this show. So, I think the idea is it's just like. This is very passionate, everyone. They're feeling it.
My friend Maris was like, have you noticed that Miranda's really bad at kissing?
And I was don't know if they just try and make her be bad. Like, if
that's how that's okay.
Dare you talk about Phoenix in that way? And I
didn't want to say it, but like you were like they're panting. I'm like, I feel like Miranda always has very bizarre,
super weird
so Maris, sex on you're right. the show. Weird kisses.
Weird kisses.
And so then Carrie falls down the stairs, like two stairs, and it's like Natasha fell down the stairs.
And no, I fell down the stairs.
And like yes, again. I'm dramatic too. I get why I'm a Carrie.
I know, but your world is bigger than hers.
And
like,
she bonks her knee.
She's just got this tiny, tiny world.
Because I will say, of all the people in my life, Lily probably receives the most Carrie version of me of anyone.
I believe that. I would
say that that's probably
especially
true.
Especially in the past like month.
Yeah. Well, also we've been in close quarters together.
That's
like,
very true.
We've become
also traveling with someone. I mean, that's just like different level of like
you learn a lot.
That's true.
And it was good. I mean,
and
like,
we're different.
Once you've had to negotiate your travel poops with each other, I mean,
we're fine. That's been seven years ago.
We good with that.
It's more like travel snores.
Oh, that's big too.
But we even still, by the end of it, we were like your snoring is a sweet lullaby.
Oh, charming.
No one else's is, though.
That's love and friendship.
Just you.
So Charlotte has an erotic sex dream.
Oh, crazy.
There
are bagpipes for days. And also,
I was literally like, I could Irish dance to Charlotte's sex dream right now.
I was like, is she masturbating? The way that she's like writhing in bed.
The idea is that she's asleep, but she's full body writhing.
Yeah.
Yes, because... Yeah,
is that what we look like when we're having sex dreams? How would any of us know?
Why is he naked and she's not?
I know. So she has yes, she's definitely asleep because Trey goes, so she's in bed next to Trey having a full on sex dream.
I was watching this at work today.
This is also funny. This is another moment where you're like, fake sex where you're thrusting and there's clearly no penis going
anywhere. Why would they pan to that exact section? That was full like
her
soft
core
like, porn moment.
Yeah, like peen and vajay, but there's nothing
where
there.
It's just like weird bodies. Yes.
Her head is literally banging against the headboard and Trey's like, Charlotte.
Trey goes, Charlotte, you're having a nightmare. And then he goes, oh, he feels her sweat. And he goes, you're all wet. Like he has no idea, of course.
She is wet.
And he blows on her. It's very funny.
And he's trying to be like loving. And she's like, oh my God,
my knee's still hurting from the karmic trip down the stairs.
I decided to take matters into my own
hands.
Which,
like, Carrie.
This is not a solution.
No.
This is you.
She's inserting herself so that her guilt can be absolved.
And it's like any time that down the line someone you hurt or whatever and you really want to, like, reach out to them and
they
absolve guilt, chances are they've moved on with their lives from you fucking it up and you only want to do it for your sake.
100%. This is purely so that she can go to sleep at night
and
be
her
like,
assistant, yeah.
We're okay.
So... Natasha's assistant is like, who's calling? And she says, Carrie Bradshaw, what is this about? It's personal. And she gets back to her and she's like, she's in a meeting. And Carrie's like, oh, no worries, I'll hold.
And she's like,
you're going to hold forever. And instead of getting the picture and hanging up, Carrie's like, okay, I guess I'll hold forever. I'm like, pick your damn battle.
So Charlotte
girlfriend.
Goes over to the gardener and when she's like, where'd you learn how to do that?
And he's like, we're gardeners.
Well,
okay, here's something I didn't understand.
Also, what is he doing?
Yeah,
that's
planting roses for 3 days
with a huge shovel. Why do you need a giant shovel for these little roses?
She's like, those roses.
Okay, here's my question.
Beautiful.
So, the McDougals. We talk in the beginning in Bunny about all this history and the name, and they're clearly Scottish, and there were all the kilts involved. But the gardener is not related to them.
No.
But in every and he's like a third generation gardener. He's also not like a person of color. You know, they're not differentiating. So why? Do they play Scottish music behind him?
Huh.
I think it's just the McDougal Manor.
Okay. So it's
but
just
like...
But
you think like the manor is playing Scottish music or like...
Or just like the sense of...
The people who are scoring this were like, let's keep it alive.
Let's keep it Scottish. Spirit of the manor. I was just confused because I was like, he's not a McDougal.
No. So he hands her
a rose. He's certainly not Scottish.
And she flirts with him and then they just start making out.
Just out of nowhere. Which I'm like... It's one thing for Charlotte to do, but he initiates the kiss, and for a gardener on a farm, on a household for very wealthy people, who of course he would know who she was. It just seems really brazen.
And Trey's brother's wife sees them,
and she does this amazing. It's a very short scene, and she just turns to the camera and is like,
"Okay,"
smiles.
Cut to Samantha Jones and Sam Jones arriving at her door
with a rose,
apologizing, and like basically like.
He's like, I've been waiting for a woman like you my whole life.
Oh, my God.
They have just, like, the most riotous. I mean, he is having the time of his life. Like,
of course he is.
And she keeps, like, grabbing his face and being like, slow down. Yeah. Slow down.
It's just like.
And, of course, afterwards, laying in bed, what does he say?
I think I'm falling in love with you.
Oh man, virgins.
Does that happen?
Virgins,
that did
baby.
Not happen to me happen when to me. I lost my virginity.
No, but I think.
I mean, I lost my virginity to someone who I was like emotionally involved with, but I still wasn't like. This
I
is
didn't,
love.
And I still, I literally was like, ah, okay.
It is interesting. I wonder if it would be the same thing if gender roles were reversed. Mm. I think it would take on the implication of like she's needy and emotional, whereas the implication here is that this guy's just had his mind blown and he's like, I have to get that sex from.
Well, but also like lucky, like we don't know what year of college he's in. He lives in a dorm, so I'm going to go ahead and say freshman or sophomore. Yeah. This lucky freshman sophomore
just had Samantha Jones.
Yeah, his first time is with like sex goddess Sam Jones. Are you kidding me? Of course he's going to be like. His wiener's in love with her, period. Yeah.
It's also funny because, of course, the conversation they have with each other, he's like, Sam? And she's like, yes, Sam.
It's so funny. I like the writing on this show sometimes.
I do, too.
Oh, it's great. This is, you know, he writes younger.
I know.
It's the same, like, feel-good, get you in your little
This is
bones.
An incredible scene.
Wasps are amazing.
So wasps Unbelievable. Are sitting around, and everyone says no to the food, and he walks past Charlotte, the wasps are all around, and they're like, how was your day? How was your day? And Trey's brother's wife is like, I had the most interesting day. I was taking a really long walk, and I saw Charlotte kissing the gardener. And I was like,
and without missing a beat, Bunny says, oh, darling, now you're really a McDougal.
And you can see that Trey's upset.
Guys, I mean,
but the best thing, sister-in-law, what the fuck?
Well, really important, they say, join the McDougals for happy hour, which started at 5 and ended to the last man standing. Uh-huh. So the McDougals are drinkers. And
well,
at the
wait,
very end of the scene.
Wasps are drinkers. Yeah. You guys know that, right?
That's how you get through.
They just drink and keep secrets and don't. That's all wasps are.
And kiss the gardener.
Yes, that's why this makes sense.
So Bunny then goes to smoke her cigarette, but puts it in the wrong way.
It's so funny. She does. She's drunk.
She's drunk 24. People who have that much money and nothing to do
are just drunk 24/7.
Drunk 24/7. And again, keeping secrets. Like they are all just.
But they are keeping secrets.
Well, it is
They're
interesting because the secret's out and they don't care.
But they don't care.
I know. So then we go to Samantha, who gets the series of funniest voice messages.
35.
From Sam Jones who's like I'm in love with you. I have to see you tonight. Like, I have to see you tonight.
I don't think I can live without you.
Okay, Sam.
It just like escalates and escalates and escalates.
Sam, are you there, babe?
Wow, that was
to see you tonight. It's like really important.
Perfect. You just said,
it's so funny.
Sam.
Okay, Sam.
It's Sam.
Genius.
Okay, this is really
across town. It is. Okay, so halfway through this episode, I was like, what's going to be wrong with this cop? Because he seems way too good to be true. He's so into Miranda. So Miranda, basically, they go to dinner and she has the realization that she's with someone so hot that every other woman in the restaurant is looking at him.
And Miranda is drinking a double vodka martini.
Same though.
Insane.
Okay. Have you met me after two regular martinis? She ends up having 6 double vodka martinis.
She's had so much. Basically, she starts feeling really insecure.
Aware that he is so attractive that everyone
and she's like,
in the restaurant is
looking
at him.
This has to be a joke. Like, why is he here with me?
Okay, but listen, I love women. I'm all about supporting other women. But the shots they're giving me of the women staring at this man.
That
are these, like,
does not happen.
Who, first of all, the first two look like they just got out of bed. Like, one of them's eye makeup is coming down their face. Yes. And the other one looks half asleep.
Maybe it's supposed to be like Miranda's imagination, but it doesn't seem that way.
I mean, if anything, they should be all like unbelievably hot and it's flipping her out.
And so Miranda does a really sad thing,
which
is she gets trashed to deal with her insecurity. Been there, baby, so many times. And then she's really too drunk to hook up with him.
And
he's
like, you're drunk.
He keeps trying to like...
This dress is awesome.
Calm her. And yeah, it's cool. A lot of moving parts and like beautiful drapey folds. And
yeah.
She's so drunk and so into him, but it's like she's like not fun sloppy. And she's like, you're the most beautiful man I've ever been with, which I also think is a pretty good way to turn someone off, to like put them on a pedestal. That doesn't work out.
I'm Suvari, but I'm great in bed.
And he's like,
who? Oh, right. It's an American Beauty reference.
Oh, wow.
Because that had just
come
out.
Sure, of course. Yeah. When Trey didn't come to bed that night, Charlotte went looking for him. He's like sweaty and Abby and like shooting.
Trey was hot, you guys.
Trey's hot, but he's literally serving. He's on the tennis court in his fucking boxers.
I don't know, he doesn't
boxers.
Do it for me. His body
his body.
Is good, clearly.
Kyle MacLachlan's body.
But his face doesn't, yeah.
But he's in his fucking boxers and tennis shoes.
Just like.
Appropriately called tennis shoes
for
the first time.
One.
I mean, those boxers are rather kiltish.
And she's basically like, I'm so sorry. I know you're upset. And he's like, listen, clearly I can't satisfy you. And I'm going to have to deal with the fact that every so often you'll have to get yours somewhere else, which is the worst fucking response.
And she's like, I don't want a husband who looks the other way.
You don't care if I kiss the gardener. And then she says, this is insane. Ugh. But it's also like the arc of Charlotte in this episode. I mean, she doesn't hesitate at this point. And she's like, you know, Trey, I think when we're back in the city.
I've had this fight before where it's like, I don't want you to be okay with me flirting with people. I want you to fight for me. And then being like, I guess that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I feel that.
Lazy. And then
I feel that really hard. And then you're like, okay, if you don't want me that much, that's okay. And what she says to him is, when we get back to the city, we should separate. And Trey says, alrighty.
Alrighty. That's his like through line.
I mean, that's his.
If we've learned one thing about Trey, it's that he says alrighty.
His whole family is just like clearly fucked up, and we've known that forever, but here we are. I just can't believe he said alrighty to her.
I can. And then hits the tennis ball. Yeah, that's his abs are really out of control.
His face makes him look so much older than he is, because clearly by his body, he's like a hot young thing.
He's looked like that forever, though.
So now it's funny because Sam Jones is calling Samantha 75 times, and Carrie is doing the same fucking thing to Natasha.
I'm attacking, man.
I'm like, you're going to sound crazy. She's like, 7 missed calls, and I still hadn't heard back.
This is my favorite. The next morning, Miranda woke up with the worst hangover of her life, and she goes over. She's like looking for the detective. She like is really struggling to walk down the hall, which like no hangover has ever been like this before. This
honestly
is like,
I have
really the stumblies.
Oh yeah.
Mine don't feel like
not
this
often
either.
Not often. It's truly, it has to be a very
the right combination
evening
of like alcohol,
maybe six
and
double vodka martinis. Right,
that would do it. And here's the thing, the among the evidence left over from the night before is he left her a pamphlet for her local alcoholics.
No, it's a note that's like, maybe you should find this is the number for your
local Alcoholics Anonymous.
And so Sam Jones comes to Sam Jones, and she realized that in screwing Sam Jones, she wound up screwing herself.
She's like, time to move, which really does suck. She should have fucked him in his dorm if she wanted to.
Oh, see, I loved Charlotte's outfits. Like,
they're. I do like those pants. I'd wear those in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
They show up at home.
No, she goes to her own apartment, which luckily
I forgot she still has
Carrie's wearing, iconic dress.
Carrie's wearing the newspaper dress.
Oh, yeah, this is
iconic.
And
her boobs are out of control.
Like, how do they stay up? She's not wearing a bra. Like,
this
how?
Is what you show up to talk to the woman whose life you potentially destroyed.
And she looks gorgeous. Also, notice this episode.
And, like, a weird print dress.
This episode.
I mean, it's iconic, but.
It's the first time we saw Natasha wearing anything but white.
That's true. She's no longer the, like, innocent, like, pure alternative to Carrie.
And Carrie's like, I'm
she's
gonna sit
pink
down
and pearls.
So she basically used Samantha's assistant to get to find out where Natasha was having lunch, and then she sits down and Natasha goes, I'm gonna scream.
And Natasha, I would fucking too. She's being stalked by the
never a point where Natasha has said something where I've been like, you're wrong. Like,
no, all Natasha has done is be the woman who married big,
which I think is a testament to the writing that we never hate Natasha. We can't hate Natasha.
No.
And if you do, I think that says way more about you than anything else, because
preach, honey.
because she has done literally nothing except be not Carrie.
And so Carrie says like this long,
I mean, she has to like get her breath under control when Carrie sits down at the table. Like, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
You've left your husband now, potentially partially because of this woman, and she has the audacity to show up.
To show up and say that it's all me, like me and my beautiful body
I'm
and
so
everything.
Sorry, I took your man
like,
away from
fuck
you.
Fuck you,
and
dude.
She's like, I'm deeply sorry. And Natasha has this amazing speech where she goes, are you through? And Carrie goes, yes. And she goes, I'm sorry too. I'm sorry that I married Big. I'm sorry that Big moved to Paris and fell in love with me. I'm sorry that he married me. I'm sorry that you had an affair with him and that I ignored it for so many.
Yeah, for so long.
I'm sorry that I fell down the stairs and chipped my tooth and that this tooth doesn't match this tooth. And it like goes on and it's like, she's like, and I'm sorry.
But it's what it is her just, it is Natasha reclaiming her time. She's like, bitch, you think you have this narrative down? Let me tell you, I'm a whole person. I have had to deal with this on my side. And you know what? I have some fucking regrets too. And you are not responsible for this.
Which honestly, I appreciate for the show, because Carrie is our protagonist, but Carrie's in the wrong.
And she's an unreliable narrator for
matter. Yes, like, and part of what this does is Natasha is actually taking that exact power that Carrie just assumed she had and being like, actually, bitch, sorry, but this is my life, my relationship, and you do not get to decide that you fucked it up for me.
And you also don't get to like be absolved of any guilt by coming in here and trying to take responsibility.
She sees what Carrie's doing, of course. Because if you've ever been on the other side of someone apologizing to you for their sake, you know exactly what feels like.
It's ridiculous.
You're like,
it's almost laughable. Like,
she goes, not only have you ruined my marriage, but you've ruined my lunch. And I was like, you're an iconic bitch.
Honestly.
Yeah, I love that you ruined my lunch.
And then she says, to mimic Carrie, I guess that's just what I had to say.
Yeah. And so then
I only wish that if I am ever in a circumstance like that, I can do the thing Natasha does and not scream and have a very well put together comeback, because goddamn.
And then Carrie leaves and
if single women in New York didn't have it hard enough.
Because now Natasha's back on the market. And so now for some reason they decide to make this slow motion. And I'm sorry, but all I can look at is her boobs.
Why are they doing it?
And they're a little bit lopsided and they're just bouncing out.
Because that strap is a little bit tighter than the other strap.
You're totally right.
So she's got one that's perfectly hoisted and another one that can go free.
But either way, we're slow-moing for no reason. Really, just watch her boobs.
Well, we're slow-moing. I don't know. This is such an interesting use of... like editing and DP because we're not on her side on this.
Right.
So why are you giving us this slow-mo introspective moment when like we're on the outside. We have all the information we need to know that like Carrie's been in the wrong. So I don't need this introspection.
This feels like it might be a disconnect between writer's room and audience, where I think they probably thought people would just side with Carrie no matter what.
Yeah.
Whack.
And also maybe
it's your neighbor Darren Starr.
Maybe the 2000s woman would side with Carrie.
Hard to think about. Yeah, I guess, you know.
Here I am, hard-hitting questions.
Right.
Be-dee-dee-doo.
Because it's kind of like why I think people who watched the show when they were younger or like in your circumstance feel way more attached to Big, whereas me watching it now, I have no patience for Big.
I love Big. I
don't see any good, really. I see their banter and I see that they have real chemistry, but beyond that, I'm like, ugh. Like,
I guess knowing what I know, and I won't say anything. Yeah. But no, I'm kind of with you. Like he never, actually, when I first watched it, he never really had me fully taken. Huh.
Well, like Candace Bushnell doesn't think they should have ended up together in the show. And that's what I mean, where it seems like the writers wrote to what they wanted the audience to empathize with Carrie about necessarily. At sometimes, it is a very smart and well-written show, but sometimes it seems like they're playing into just like, what will the audience want to see about Carrie versus like, what's a good story or like what's.
It's interesting. And then also that comes into what producers were asking of them, what the network was asking for them. Like, our audience really responds to A, B, and C. Can you do more of that next season?
Just make that the thing, right?
Yeah, depending on whether or not that's something they really even wanted to do. But it's interesting how that all kind of shifts and changes. There's a great slew of men on this show. Big is 100% not my favorite.
Who's your favorite man?
Am I allowed to say
haven't? It's Harry.
Well, yes, it's Harry.
Oh, I know who Harry is.
Yeah, like I would marry Harry in a heartbeat.
I know that name.
However, if you like sleep on Aiden, you're wrong. Like,
interesting. Aiden, I love that.
I'm over it.
I just have a John Corbett thing. It's
fair.
I'm more of a burger girl myself.
He's got to come back, right? Does.
I don't know, Bridget. You're going to have
this. This is the one thing I don't.
I don't do spoilers, girl.
That's fair. I found out too many accidentally, obviously. Steve's it's also been out fantastic. Forever, but I love Steve, although. By the end of his we haven't seen Steve in a while, so the end of the arc that I've seen
he
is him being like
a baby
and really fucking Miranda. But at the beginning I was like, Steve's my favorite.
They all have their issues, I think.
Just like real relationships
just
with
like
real people
ones.
Oh my god. Yeah. They do such a good job.
No, Charlotte gets my
Lily. Who did you resonate with this episode?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
How did I know? What? A question we've never asked before.
I don't know. It's so new.
It's so interesting.
You can think on it if you want.
I feel like all of them except Carrie.
Ooh.
Oh, interesting.
Like on a certain level.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Carrie's arc this episode is really only about Natasha, which is actually interesting because often she has the main line.
Yeah.
And like Samantha doesn't.
It's funny because I
would throw Natasha in my mix for characters.
Yes, I love that.
For sure.
You know what's interesting is that I feel like I've been like made the villain in a relationship before except that I actually didn't do anything about.
Oh, interesting. You became the villain without being the villain.
Yes. I was made a villain just by existing. And like, I sort of, sorry, I took this right out of you,
totally okay.
But I sort of resonate with Carrie in this like feeling of like being involved in a relationship you're not a part of, except I didn't have an affair and I didn't do anything. But I don't know where that puts me in the scope of that, but I like sort of understand the like feeling like the third in a relationship, even though like I was like, I am no part of this.
Sure.
But I understand like being villainized, like that feeling of like you can see someone seeing you and feeling
and
negative
wanting
thoughts
to control
about
the
you.
Narrative or yeah.
Yeah. I sorry, finish no, what no, you were no. gonna say. Natasha, interesting.
Well, I've recently not even just recently, but like when people try to take responsibility for like my existence in this world, or credit for my existence in this world, it really totally witches me out, because I'm just like, not even my parents who created me can take full responsibility and credit for my existence in this world. Like I make my own choices. I decide my own fate. So like
to have you sit down and tell me you caused something in my life is like arrogance.
And the fact is, it's funny because like I would say that I don't resonate with Carrie in this episode because she's being so unbelievably selfish, but I resonate with people like Charlotte in this episode for her selfishness.
Yeah.
Like there's different.
Well, there are different kinds of selfishness.
There are different kinds of selfishness.
Charlotte genuinely doesn't have a need being met and she's.
And she goes and seeks it out for herself. And then, I have to give her a little credit for
and
that.
And then she owns up to her mistake immediately when, you know, when it comes out and is like, we can't do what we've been doing.
Yeah.
Whereas Carrie's like,
how can I
sneakily.
Yeah. And it's interesting with Charlotte because she doesn't like it happens, it gets out there, and instead of, you know, running to Trey and being like, how do we fix this, she knows that she did it because of a bigger picture. And
now, and she also can tell by his reaction that bigger picture is clearly what is gonna
exactly
prevail. It's interesting with Carrie because it's like I feel that too. I don't think I haven't been in a Natasha situation, but that feeling of like, you know what? Fuck you, because you did get involved and you did do this. And now you are also trying to get involved and make yourself a part of this part too. Like remove yourself
get
from
out.
My life.
Just get, take a hit.
Why on earth would I want you to be part of what's happening now?
And I certainly don't want to be.
Especially if you were involved.
No, I understand. You know, it's weird.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, don't
but
apologize.
I understand Carrie's like urge. Like,
yes,
you know,
sure.
you know you have hurt
but
somebody.
But when she doesn't call you back 7 times,
no,
you
no, no.
don't
of
show
course.
Up at lunch.
I don't think I would ever even make the phone call. But no. I understand the like thought process of being like, I have hurt this person.
For
and
sure.
I know, and I'm confronted.
And that's television, I guess. It's like people following through on impulses we
of
probably
course.
Wouldn't.
It's
but,
dramatic storytelling. Yeah. However, like in the real world, if I was the Carrie in this situation, I think.
The amount of just ballsiness it takes to show. Like that to me is almost ballsier than having the affair.
Yes, I think if I feel the impulse too, I totally do.
Yeah.
But I
well,
think
we have a really innate desire to like defend ourselves.
Of course, but not even beyond defend ourselves. Like if you are somebody who is empathetic,
yes,
overly, which I am, I'm a very overly empathetic person. Like I would, whether or not I caused it, I would feel the pain.
Yes, I get that too. Yeah,
has.
Yeah, definitely.
And at the very end of the day, if I had to pull a Carrie, the tact would just be different. It would be more like, I wouldn't call her 100 times and I certainly wouldn't show up at a lunch of hers, but I would definitely maybe, like, if I did get her on the phone, just say, like, I'm sorry. I don't know what part of this I caused or if I caused any of it, but I just want you to know I'm taking myself out of the equation. You won't have to hear from me again. And I
at the most,
there's just, I don't know. There's a tact level where you have to go into that situation being with the priority that you want them to feel better, not you want you to feel better, not you want you to.
Yeah.
If it's a personal reason, you shouldn't
then
be,
you
doing,
shouldn't be
it
doing it
because you've already inserted yourself. Yeah. I definitely feel that too. I think out of everyone though, the person I resonate most, not that I've exactly done this, but Miranda accidentally ruining a really good thing for herself because she gets insecure and overdoes it is like, I mean, that's just like textbook me. I mean, yeah. Whether or not it.
Me too.
Like, honestly, I don't drink a ton anymore. I say as I've got 2 glasses of wine, like really though. But even in college when I drank a lot, like it wasn't like I would really ruin things by drinking, but it's just more that I understand the trying to overcompensate for your irrational feelings and then making a situation way worse than it should have been.
Well, drinking just lets your guard down.
Right.
So like your insecurities sort of take a back seat.
And I'm definitely like,
or they float to the surface.
Yeah. No, yeah. It does go one of both ways.
Right. Or both. And then you're both trying to be like effusively whatever. And yeah, I mean, freshman year me had a whole alternate persona everyone called Dridget.
Which Bridget.
Was Drunk Bridget. Because
I don't have a name for Blackout Brooke.
Because
I don't get blackout.
The nice thing is that I do. Only if I don't eat.
Bridget.
Eating is the.
Lily has seen me, my worst drunk. Oh, more I believe than that. Most people.
I believe that.
Not many people have seen my worst drunk.
That's good.
Lily's fun.
Only drunk. A few people have seen my worst. Handful. But here's the thing. You're probably like me then, where I'm like, if my drunk Bridget is like, if I've ever had a nice thought about you, I'm going to tell you times 10.
Oh, me
million.
Too.
Are you kidding?
Yes, same. So like the thing is, so freshman nice year, drunk Bridget made friends with all of the seniors I was really obsessed with because I'm sure I was a little too effusive, but I also knew that I couldn't be too effusive. So I'd get into this perfect amount of like drunk and just like, tell me about what you do. Like I saw this. And then I had these like older classmen friends and I was like, fuck, I can only do this when I get drunk. And
I totally know that feeling. It's so strange how a situation like that comes about naturally. Like you naturally gravitated towards them. You were yourself around them, and that's how you became friends with them. And yet we wake up the next day and we're like, I have no idea how to recreate being myself.
Drunk me is a whole different person who I can never access unless I'm that person.
Yeah, and wait, it's so.
What was I just?
And
it's such a weird an episode of Don't so Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 Monday,
which
June.
Brooke got me into, and then I watch all of it in like 2 days.
Oh yeah, it's phenomenal.
Which episode are you thinking of?
Monday, June.
Oh, yes.
My Colts come out, kid, now.
Who did you resonate with?
Plopability.
Oh, yeah. Plopability, we mean like if you took this exact plot and stuck it into the 2018 TV show, would it work?
I think this is
say that word again.
Plopability. Like if you plop it in. So like, is it ploppable?
Plopability. I think it's pretty ploppable. There's nothing that screams 2000.
No.
I do think that.
The college dorm thing.
I was going to say the college dorm thing only because I think maybe.
Well, yes, we're living in a pre-9/11 world.
Well, yes, that. But also I think maybe this is just dumb because I know there's still a lot of like sitcoms and fun shows where ridiculous things happen. But I think TV writers treat audiences a little more smartly just in the fact that like that's not a real situation where 2 third-year-old women would walk into an NYU dorm and go up to a party. Like that would not happen.
But now it's. I agree with you when you say that. However, there are networks that still cater to just that.
Oh yeah, of course.
So now it's about that's like finding a place for the realistic voice, for the sitcom voice, for
totally.
They all have a place in the world, and
I don't think the mugging story would have had like a lot of this.
I don't think this show would be on HBO now.
No, I think you're right. Actually, that's really interesting. Specifically, HBO.
This show would be like
a silly sitcom that doesn't push any boundaries compared to say like the sex scenes in Game of Thrones where you're like
they tackle a lot of real stuff but it is also kind of bogged down every now and then by the superficial
the New York Times thinks it's a fair thing to write an op-ed about could Cynthia Nixon understand the struggles of the people because she once played a character who liked to buy shoes.
I could see this on like Hulu now or like
Amazon
or Netflix, like something like that, but like
the like slightly 2018 version of like a streaming service is like, let's make a fun show about these women living their best lives. It would look different. That said, a lot of the plot of this episode would translate.
Oh, 100%.
Miranda's what I think. Charlotte's definitely. Yeah. I think
Carrie's for sure.
Carrie's
would.
All
yeah.
Of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Delta's upsies, Delta's downsies.
That's what I was going to say.
Lily, what's your Delta upsie and your Delta downsie for the week?
Like change for the better, change
delta
for the worse.
Like
roses and thorns.
Kind of, sure, yeah, basically.
What's the Delta?
Well, the idea is change like change for the worse.
The better, change for the worse.
Oh, it's the yeah.
Chemistry.
Hey, baby.
Delta up. So a friend of mine does this series.
Oh yeah.
# meditation sessions on Instagram. Sorry, oh, cool. It's a plug.
Apologize.
They just launched on Saturday. It's sort of like Tiny Desk's NPR.
Oh, cool.
NPR's
yeah.
Tiny Desk,
yeah, yeah,
except
yeah.
It's in my friend's apartment and. We were filming and we had to reshoot a couple things I had done months ago because they have a whole new setup, like a bunch of cameras and sound mixing and all this cool stuff. And the DP said something.
Lily's an amazing singer.
Thank you, Mom.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Thanks, Mom. they were setting up all the cameras, and my friend Julia goes, oh, that's a beautiful shot. And it was a camera that was set up to my right side of my face. And like,
really doesn't like that.
I know my sides. My right's not my best
side. I feel
side.
That. And I don't feel good about my profile ever, you know?
Like, I certainly don't either. I have a Linda Belcher neck. Like, I genetically just don't have.
Oh, but what a beautiful, I mean, like, if you have to share a neck with anyone, at least it's Linda Belcher.
But she said that, and I said, like, I was like, is it really? You know how I feel about my right side. And the DP who I had worked with before, who I love dearly, was like, oh, we're not working with Lily until she has to approve every shot. And I felt like, I didn't feel slighted because I was like, oh my God, he's right. I'm being a total effing diva about this.
Right.
And I walked away from that situation and I walked into the kitchen where I made myself a giant BLT and I went, you know
yes,
what?
Yes, baby.
I'm beautiful today. I'm singing and I don't really care. And this video is going to be fucking great regardless. So my up was just sort of a like, oh my
Fuck
God.
Yeah.
He totally like threw an arrow at me, but it wasn't a piercing arrow. What is that
with the apple on top of the head?
The light bulb. Newton? Oh, when you put an arrow, like an apple on your head.
The head and they shoot that arrow.
William
Tell? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I do love that when someone tells you something or like a compliment where it's so specific and it's about something that you have like specifically felt weird about and you're like, did you know? How on earth could you have known that this specific thing? Because when someone does that and you feel seen in like the right way and the best way, it's such a, and it's amazing how sometimes all you need is one person to be like, you look amazing like this. And I'm like, wow, I've been telling myself that I hate this part of my body for 10 years, but obviously if this person likes it, then I think it's probably pretty cool. And because it's just like, it makes a huge difference sometimes totally. When people my boss, is something that I really have always loved about him is that he is very, very good with no prompting at like words of affirmation. Where like if he is happy or satisfied or like he won't just be happy or satisfied, like he'll go out of his way to be like, thank you for making this thing possible for me. And that's part of the reason that like I can work for him through anything. Sure. Because part of what it did like 3 weeks into starting to work for him, I was like, I want to tell everyone I know when they do good things because the kind of or look beautiful or say something like anything, because unsolicited affirmation from people you like work for or care about
could be day changing.
It's like life changer. Sometimes. And it's such like realizing the power it had on me. I was like, oh my God, there's no reason I can't just like tell people the lovely things I think about them all the time, unless I'm drunk. Because clearly I do that.
It all comes back to being drunk.
What's your Delty upsies?
What's your Delty's downsies?
Oh yeah. Wait, do you have a downsy? You can skip a downsy if you want. Or you lean into it.
Need a downsy.
I feel like it's sort of an ongoing downsy. Uh-huh. Like now that I'm back in New York.
Storm cloud.
Now that I'm back in New York, I really need to figure out what my life is going to look like.
Fair. Because you moved like sort of recently before you went.
Yeah, I moved in November around the holidays. Right, so then November, December are fake months. And then January was this interim month where I was waiting.
Love the mumps.
Where I was waiting to go to Israel. Right. And then February.
And now you're back and you're like, oh shit.
But I was like traveling and everything was
February
a dream.
February was a dream month.
Yeah, we were in like fucking Land of Oz for
literally
for 6 weeks. Yeah. And then I came back.
6 weeks?
Well, I was because I
was like, it was only a 3 week trip.
We were gone for a month. God, and then I went to LA after that. Right, and then I was here. I had this random interim week before I had to go back to LA this past week. So my life's just been on hold.
Yeah.
And there have been a lot of distractions.
That's really, it's hard to like keep moving forwards at some point when you like hit a point where you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. Like, what is happening? I haven't been home in forever. Sorry, no. I feel that.
I was going to play a drinking game at my grandparents' my grandpa's birthday. He turned 100 on Thursday.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Insane. Was it a crazy party?
It was a rager. No, it was it was actually really, really fun. A lot of people came out and had some really cool stories to tell about him. And
you've got some stories to tell.
Yeah.
Cool.
100 years?
100 years. But I was nervous because there was going to be so many like family members I hadn't seen and old friends of the family. And I was going to like pretty much take a shot every time someone said,
like, what are you doing with your life?
Like, fair. What are you doing? And like, do you have a husband?
My dad and I have a fun game whenever we go to events together. When people call, we have like our drinking game is like when people are like, hi, sir, because they never remember my dad's name. And for me, it's always, oh my God, you're so grown up. Like, that doesn't happen as much because I'm like a 25 year old. But there's always like, oh my God, you're so big.
The worst is
in high school, my dad and I were always like,
Say that, but then they don't introduce themselves. That happens. Where they'd be like, Lily. You're like,
oh yes, you're my favorite family friend from when I was 3 years old that you expect
and
me
they,
to remember.
And they keep going. They go, Lily, it's so good to see you. You probably don't remember me. I haven't seen you since you were a kid. And I'm like,
yeah, I correct. Don't. Please inform me.
Yes, and.
Yes, and. And they're like, well, you know, I knew your parents. And like.
Not helpful. Still not helpful. Give me a name. Just let me at least know your name, parent. Please.
I'm like, I'm waiting.
You're like, oh, you're responsible for my birth. Cool. Straight Thank up. You. Can well, I know your name?
This happened like 6 times. And the only one I figured out was. This woman was talking to me and I was like, oh. And then her husband sat down and I recognized him and I was like, you're my cousin. Okay.
You're my
related
cousin.
To me. That's amazing. Brooke has a new planner. Is that your Delta Upsies?
With these sheeps. Yeah, those are.
They're llamas, right?
I think I can't tell if they're out llamas or alpacas.
Oh, maybe alpacas.
But it says my name on
How
it.
How did you get your name on it?
I customized the same it. Thing.
It's so cute.
So
Delta's Upsies?
That's my Delta Up is this new planner.
It's beautiful.
And my Delta Down is something that I am not going to talk about on this podcast, but it is been a month.
Can I just offer that just send Brooke love. That's all. Yeah. We all need love sometimes, and this is a good time for love.
I love
is
you,
that
Brooke.
Fair? You can okay. That's all I want to say.
Thank you. I love you too.
There's you know, sometimes in having a podcast, there has to be a line in what we do and don't talk about. Also, and we're like, not trying to be like, but just love is helpful.
Also, like, I'm a little bit freaking out about my hair. So if you could send me a text that you like it, that would be
and
great.
And then it looks beautiful.
Guys, her hair looks amazing. I'm here in person and it looks fantastic.
That's all.
She's inspiring me to go get my hair fixed.
I mean, whoa. Fixed? It's beautiful.
It's bushy.
Lily
Moving
has
on.
Beautiful hair. Love anyway, it. Bridgie?
Delsies, upsies, Delsies, downsies. Similar, kind of like I'm not going to talk about it on this podcast, but I have, I had a hard weekend and I haven't really slept in 3 days. And, the upside of that is that sometimes the hardest thing is the right thing.
Uh-huh.
And
we're
sometimes
just doing some really good work.
And the real upside of this is that I had one of the hardest weekends I can remember and that I was at every turn surrounded by people who went out of their way to care for me and take care of me. And in some really serendipitous ways, including me in the middle of a complete panic meltdown turned out to be like 4 blocks from where Brooke was and met up with her and she took me home and took care of me. But really this weekend and today has been like a demonstration to me that I have people who really fucking care about me and will go out of their way to take care of me.
Talk about what goes around comes around.
I'm going to piggyback off that and just say that my real Delta Up is that I have the best friends ever.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just like amazing.
It's galvanizing to remember that like when something unexpected happens and you're like, oh, you care about me. You will take care of me. You will go above and beyond when I don't even maybe need it or when I do. But just like... it's a really powerful thing to have people care about you and vice versa.
That's amazing.
Imagine having 4 best friends who you live in New York with and go to brunch
Shut
with.
Up. Hey, Lily, if you want, how can we find you on social media?
Oh, if you want to find me on social media, I don't use Facebook. My Twitter is not it's from high school if you really want
to
go deep
in there. Which is
ironic
because Lily is the person who convinced me to get a Twitter in the first place.
I loved Twitter in high school.
In high school, yeah.
You can find me on Instagram.
Yes.
Lily Lag. It's Lily.
You know what's crazy? I don't think I've followed you yet.
Oh,
which is just like there's
me.
No reason
I haven't
not
followed
to.
You either. Here,
okay,
we'll do
we're
going to
do that right now. This is friendship.
It is. It's
live.
Lily with 1 L because if you spell it with 2, you're doing it wrong.
L-I-L-Y. This is a shout out to anyone who spells their name stupid.
I have every other course 6 people spell my name 6 different ways. All wrong.
I mean, just like if there's a conventional spelling, why would you make your
why
life harder?
Why would you ever spell
why
your
would
name
you add an extra
way?
Letter?
Why would you
like,
just
letter. Mr. Policeman, why would you add an extra letter to your name?
Why would you add an extra L to my name? Lily.
Social media, ma'am. How must we find thee?
How must we? You must.
What does it go by?
What does it go by? We'll explain the context of that after.
I don't even need the context. That's funny.
What does it go by?
It goes by. On the Twitter, I go by Mrs. Burt Macklin.
I love social media.
You're Miss Burt Macklin. That's fantastic.
Mrs. Burt Macklin. Thank you. Yeah. And on the Instagram, you can find me at BridgetM37. Also, this was a nice thing too when we were talking about like people giving unsolicited compliments and stuff. I posted a photo of my bare face on Instagram last week, and partially because like legitimately I know it's silly, but having a nose piercing has made me feel so much better about my bare face. She's new.
I was going to say, yeah. I don't recall you having a stud, but I like it.
I love that. Almost everyone who I've seen who's known me for a long time has not said anything about it in person and then will text me after and be like, I'm not kidding. I saw you and was like, she's had that forever.
Yeah, no, that's how
forgot.
I feel.
Yeah, okay. Which makes me, it comforts me because I'm like, it's like a fun new thing, but I think it really fits on my face.
No, it belongs on your face. It looks
Thank
great.
You. But also, it was just so empowering to like post that and feel really beautiful and have people respond really well, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so go look at my bare face on BridgetM37. Brookie?
Hi. You can find me on Twitter at Brooke_Wiseman, and you can find me on Instagram at Brooke Wiseman, no underscore. And if you add the underscore, I will cough up the phlegm in my throat and then throw it in your face.
She'll cough it up. She'll throw it at your face. And then she'll wipe it off and throw it again. That's all fine.
Collectively,
we are at Splat Podcast
on Twitter, on Instagram.
I see you guys following us on Twitter and on Instagram. I have to say, because there have been a couple recently where someone will follow me and I'm like, oh, do I know this person? And then I'll see they followed our Twitter or our Instagram, and it makes me so happy. I see you guys. I love you.
Like us on Facebook at Splat the Podcast.
We see those
email.
We see those iTunes ratings creeping up. Please rate, review, subscribe.
Oh, happily rate.
Oh, rate, review,
yes,
and subscribe on iTunes, on Acast, wherever.
Be like Lily and buy us wine and subscribe and review and
send us texts
that
you love us. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.